Let me just share a quick thought. Go to, if you're there in John chapter 4, in verse number 25, very familiar story. I won't spend a lot of time with the background, but Jesus is there. He's speaking to the woman at the well. The disciples have gone into town to buy food. And there in verse 25, Jesus is ending this conversation. In verse 25, the woman saith unto him, John chapter 4, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus said unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. And upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, what seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? So here come the disciples. Jesus is spending time with this woman at the well. And of course, if you read the beginning part of the chapter, you can get the nature of their conversation. And Jesus is drawing her to the place of presenting the gospel, presenting himself as Messiah. And of course, what a wonderful conversation that was as he brought her along. And there's a spiritual conversation. The disciples come in at the tail end of that and they're like, why is he talking with her? What is he doing? I mean, we brought food. I hope he wraps this up so we can, you know, get on with what we're doing. They marveled. And of course, one of the reasons they marveled is he's talking with a woman. There's some cultural things there in doing that. But they're scratching their heads. Why is Jesus talking to this woman? And of course, verse 28, the woman then leaves. She left her water pot and she went her way into the city and saith to the men, come and see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? So here, she's excited. She's going back into town and she's drawing all these people that she knows saying, come out. You've got to come. You've got to meet Jesus. He's the Messiah. I have believed. Now, what an exciting spiritual event this is. And then we have the disciples. Verse 31. In the meanwhile, while this great spiritual event's taking place, in the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, hath any man brought him aught to eat? Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. Here the disciples come and they've accomplished their mission. They've gone into town to buy some food, to bring it out so that they can eat, so that this can be a prosperous journey on the way home from Judea back up to Galilee. So they've accomplished their to-do list, the task list. The box has been checked. They're just about ready to enjoy this meal. And they come upon Jesus. They bring him food and Jesus is like, I'm not really interested in eating. And his statement, boy, what a wonderful statement. I have meat to eat that you know not of. I am being satisfied by something that is so much, so far beyond physical food. And perhaps this week you'll be able to experience that as we fast and pray together. You'll be able to experience, hey, you know what? Seeking after God and being in his word and being in prayer, having communion with him is so much more important than just the menial stuff of life. I have meat. I gain sustenance from something other than the physical. And that's what Jesus is saying. And then he goes on. Of course, the disciples are like, well, you know, all right, who's the brown noser? Who's trying to, you know, get brownie points with Jesus by slipping him food under the table, you know, not allowing us to do it? Because we were going to do it. That was part of our task list. Who's the cheater around here? They're looking around and who gave him some meat? And he's, guys, you're missing what I'm trying to tell you. My meat, what gives me sustenance, what keeps me going is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. And what is the will of him that sent Christ? It involves people. It involves reaching out with the gospel. Of course, we see the woman at the well. That's exactly what Jesus was doing. So we find here, and I want to point out one thing, and I hope this thought will be helpful for you this week. It's been helpful for me, not saying that I've applied it all, but it's popped in my head multiple times because I'm a whole lot like the disciples, and perhaps you are as well. See, the disciples were in productivity mode. You know productivity mode, all right? It's about the task list. It's about getting things done. It's about accomplishing something. It's about doing what needs to be done. Here, they were involved in the details of ministry. They were involved in ministry, but they were involved in the details of ministry. They were involved in thinking about having a successful trip to and from Jerusalem to from Judea back up to Galilee. All right, and that was something that was it's a good thing. It was an important thing that they be able to make it all the way back to Galilee. And to them, in order to accomplish this, Samaria was both an obstacle to them, something that they had to go through because Jesus wanted to go through, but it was also a resource. All right, how can we use Samaria? How can we use the city of Sychar? How can we use it for our advantage? How can we use what's here in order to accomplish and to mark off the things that are on our list? I know they probably have some food. We can go and buy some. And so they're in productivity mode. They go into the city with a purpose of accomplishing a specific task. And there's nothing wrong with this task. Thankfully, there's nothing wrong with eating. All right? It's a good thing. We need to eat once in a while. This task was vital to helping Jesus have a pleasant journey from Jerusalem back to Galilee. This was an important task, but their perspective was wrong in the task that they were trying to accomplish because they were in productivity mode. Contrast that with the Lord Jesus Christ. Because Christ, we find verse 32, verse 34, and 35, we read those verses already. Jesus was not in productivity mode. Jesus was in people mode. He was in people mode. Now, while the ministry does involve productivity at times, listen, we have to earn a living. We have to take care of some details at times. And sometimes those details can be kind of annoying, right? Got to get this done, got to pay these bills, got to run these errands, got to do this and that. And those things need to be done. But we often need a perspective checkup. We often need to be reminded that the ministry is about people. And I'm sure you've heard verse 35, those that have painted a picture with this verse, and the fact that disciples have come and they're having this conversation. The whole while the woman is in town and she's telling all these men, telling all of her friends, people that she knows, that the Messiah is here, you need to come out and meet him. And then verse 39, we see that indeed that is exactly what happens. And they paint this picture, and I do like the picture. I think it's accurate according to Scripture, that Jesus says to the disciples, "Say not ye there yet 4 months, then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields." Don't say that the time for ministry, the time for people, is another time. I don't have time for that. Have you ever said that before? I don't have time for this person right now. I've got things I'm trying to do. I don't have time for this opportunity to witness. I've got places to go and things to do. We've said that sometimes. We've felt that sometimes because we're Americans. We live in productivity mode. It's kind of our natural default position. And people are obstacles to that. We need our perspective to be adjusted. And I think Jesus was telling the disciples, your eyes, you're looking at the meat that you bought, the meal that you bought, the provisions that you were able to secure for yourself. Get your eyes off of you and all the things that you need to do and look. And perhaps they could see a group of people coming from out from Sychar to see Jesus and a revival about ready to take place and a bunch of people about ready to get saved. Amen. I think they probably did. And you know what? We need the same thing. We need our perspective adjusted that people are not in the way of us accomplishing things. People are the task that we need to accomplish. All those people in our, quote unquote, in our way, the people that we have to deal with, the annoying government workers, the annoying bill collectors, those that we have to talk to, that we have to deal with. And so we've got a rotten attitude because it's like, let's get this done. Why aren't you moving faster? You're slow as molasses. Don't you know how to do your job? I'm sure we could replace you with somebody more productive to get this done quicker so I could get on my way faster. We kind of have that perspective at times when we need to be saying, why is God, why does he have me here? Hey, that's a person for whom Christ died. I wonder if they've heard the gospel. I wonder how I could even use this time to just kind of experiment and see if I can lead the conversation towards the things of God, towards the gospel. This is what the disciples needed to be reminded of. They were saying the time to do this is later. It's not now. We've got things to do now. Once the things are accomplished, then we'll do the people thing. No. People are the main thing. You know, in a church, there are physical productivity things that are necessary in order to get done. But ultimately, all of those things are about people. Like we heard this morning, they're about the preaching of the gospel and the discipleship of the saints. That is what the church should be all about. That's our task. In our personal lives, there are physical productivity kind of things that we have to give some attention to. There's jobs, there's homes, there's cars, there's stuff. Many of these things are necessary. Some of them aren't. Perhaps it would be good to simplify sometimes. But many of those things are necessary. But let's not forget that what is most important is ministering to people. To not be in productivity mode, but to be in people mode. And this was a lesson that was just so clear from observing the cultures and observing those who are passionate in this area. You know, the disciples, Jesus wanted them to get their eyes off of themselves and onto the fields. And of course, when he says, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white. Well, what makes a field appear white? Well, what makes it appear white is it's a collective view of numerous individuals. It's a collective view of a crop that is getting ready to harvest. Not just one, but numerous numbers, thousands upon thousands upon thousands of little individual stalks that when you stand back and look, they all together, they appear white. And you know, that's a good view of people. There are people all around us. Amen. Everywhere we go. But as long as we are in productivity mode and not in people mode, we will never see them. Sure. We will walk right by. We may even abuse them because they, in our mind, are not treating us the way we think we ought to be treated. They didn't bring the meal fast enough. They're not doing their job well enough. They're not being the kind of neighbor that we believe they ought to be. We're in productivity mode. And we never even see them as people. We never even see them as ultimately our task. We just see the tasks, the things. But now it's time. Now it's time to lift our eyes off of producing for producing's sake. To lift our eyes to ministering to people. Because that is what God has called us to do. That is what we are all about. And perhaps this week you'll take time as we pray and fast together for you to ask the Lord to help you adjust your perspective. And this is something that you don't just make a decision, you know, on Sunday in church, oh, I'm going to do this. But this is something every single day on a daily basis. It's part of taking up our cross and following him, that we view people the way that he views people. Not as obstacles to ministry, but as ministry itself. Not as things that are in our way, but perhaps even the purpose of why we've experienced all the frustrations and delays that we've experienced today. I'm sure some of you have been there. May we get our eyes off ourselves and onto the fields that are white to harvest, and may we be about the real business. May we allow God to adjust our value system so that we see things the way He sees things, that we have God culture instead of American East Coast culture. Because ultimately, that's what God wants to do in our lives.